three 8-cylinder engines, entirely new in basic design and construction, have been added to the car engine line for 1958. They differ only in cubic inch displacement and compression ratio. The 332 cubic inch engine has a compression ratio of 9.5 to 1. The 352 engine has a ratio of 10.2 to 1. And the 361 engine has a ratio of 10.5 to 1. This film presents some of the important new service features of these engines. We'll use the 332 cubic inch engine for descriptive purposes. The rocker arm covers are attached by 5 rim hold-down bolts to prevent oil leaks by providing better sealing. Cylinder heads are of new design. They have machined wedge-type combustion chambers to provide close control of the chamber areas. Also, the valves are arranged so that no two exhaust valves are adjacent. There are 2 intake valves at the cylinder head center, with an exhaust valve at each end. This eliminates localized hot spots. The firing order on these new engines is 1, 5, 4, 2, 6, 3, 7, 8. The distributor and coil are located on the front of the intake manifold for easier servicing. Provision is made in the cylinder heads for locating the spark plugs above the exhaust manifold, where they are easily accessible for checking and replacement. A new intake manifold serves as the valve tappet chamber cover and contains exhaust passages through the center section and under the carburetor, through which hot exhaust gases are directed to assist in vaporizing the incoming fuel charge. In addition, the intake manifold has 2 sets of fuel passages, each with its own separate inlet connection to the carburetor. The right side of the carburetor feeds cylinders number 1, 4, 6, and 7. And the left side feeds cylinders number 2, 3, 5, and 8. Another new feature is an air preheating chamber for the automatic choke. This chamber is cast into the right exhaust manifold. Cold air entering the inlet tube is heated in the chamber, and the heated air is conducted by the insulated outlet tube to the automatic choke. If the gasket is omitted or damaged, and also if the plate is bent or loose, cold air may be drawn in, resulting in trouble with the automatic choke. Another major change involves the water pump, which is located at the top front center of the engine block. It is no longer a part of the engine front cover and may be removed for service as a separate unit. Valve timing is different on the new engines. By aligning a dowel on the camshaft sprocket with the key on the crankshaft, the timing chain can be installed in any position. Deflection of the chain should not exceed 1/2 inch. Major changes have been made in the lubrication system. The oil pump is located inside the oil pan at the front of the engine, eliminating all outside tubing. The oil filter is mounted vertically on the left side of the engine block, where it is easily accessible for removal and replacement of the filter. Camshaft bearings are not interchangeable and must be installed in their respective bores. Now let's take a look at the hydraulic valve lifters. Most lifter trouble is caused by dirt, gum, varnish, carbon deposits, or air bubbles in the lifter assembly. To remove the lifters, the engine is cranked to bring the number 1 piston to top dead center, and the crankshaft damper rotated an additional 45 degrees, as indicated by the symbol XX on the damper. Now, starting at the number 4 cylinder, loosen the right rocker arm shaft support bolts 2 turns at a time. Follow the same procedure on the left bank, starting with number 5 cylinder. This procedure must be followed to avoid damage to the valve mechanism. At this point, After removing the push rods, remove the intake manifold and carburetor as a unit. Now, the valve lifters can be removed with a special magnetic tool. As the lifters are removed, they should be placed in a rack so that they can be installed in their original positions. If the valve sticks, use the special tool to remove the snap ring. Then, using the magnetic dowel on the tool, remove the inner parts of the lifter. Then, install the special slide hammer tool in the recess for the retaining ring and remove the lifter from its bore. Each valve lifter is a matched assembly. If the parts of one lifter are intermixed with those of another, improper valve operation is likely. Complete instructions for disassembly, assembly, testing and installation of hydraulic valve lifters are in the Ford Mechanic No. 3. Now let's turn our attention to another group of Ford engines that are completely new for 1958. These are the Super Duty truck engines, designed and built to power the Ford line of heavy-duty and extra-heavy-duty trucks. These three new engines have displacements of 401 cubic inches, 477 cubic inches, and 534 cubic inches. The compression ratio is 7.5 to 1. They're alike in basic design and construction, so we'll use the 534 cubic inch engine as a basis for presenting the features and improvements in this new line of truck engines. A number of the components of the new engines have been relocated to simplify maintenance procedures. The distributor is placed at the front of the engine. The power steering pump is on the left front corner, and the air compressor is integral with the engine. The spark plugs are located above the exhaust manifold. This location makes it easy to check and replace the plugs. Rocker arm covers have cork gaskets and 8 rim hold-down bolts to prevent oil leaks by providing better sealing. The combustion chambers are completely within the cylinder block. This design gives better chamber temperature control because the chamber wall is water jacketed. Notice that a slanting step is cast in the top of the piston. In operation, this step squeezes the fuel-air mixture toward the combustion chamber, giving greater turbulence and better combustion. Valve ports are arranged so that no two exhaust valves are adjacent. This avoids warping and distortion caused by localized hotspots. To further aid dissipation of exhaust heat, the exhaust valves are sodium-cooled to contribute to fast heat transfer. Whenever any rocker shaft support bolts are removed, a new cylinder head gasket must be installed. This is necessary because the support bolts are also cylinder head bolts. The intake manifold is a single bridge water heated type. It is designed to eliminate the passages normally used to conduct the fuel-air mixture to the cylinders. This function is now handled by integral passages in each of the cylinder heads. Full pressure lubrication is provided with the oil pump internally mounted to the bottom of the block, thus eliminating external oil leaks. A plate-type oil cooler is mounted inside the block at the front of the engine. A bypass is provided to maintain oil pressure in case the cooler should become clogged. The oil cooler should be removed from the engine and thoroughly cleaned in an acid solution at intervals of 50,000 miles. A large 2-quart oil filter, which contains 2 separate filtration stages, is attached vertically to the block on the lower right side. The oil filter can be serviced very easily from below, and the filtering element should be changed at the first 1,000 miles and each 4,000 miles thereafter. The cooling system is of the 3-stage type. The 3 cooling stages are controlled by 2 thermostats operating at different temperatures. The low thermostat is at the rear of the intake manifold. The high thermostat is in the front end of the intake manifold at the outlet elbow to the radiator. As the engine is started cold, stage 1 begins with both thermostats closed. Coolant circulates through the cylinder heads and intake manifold only. and returns to the pump through a bypass. This quickly warms the fuel-air mixture and head lubrication oils and allows the block to warm without water circulation. When 145 degrees is reached, stage 2 begins and the rear thermostat opens. Water is allowed to circulate through the block as well as through the heads and intake manifold. Finally, when a temperature of 160 degrees is reached, stage 3 begins and the front thermostat opens. This allows water to circulate through the entire system, including the radiator. For service, the operating portion of the water pump, the impeller, snout, and shaft assembly are removable without disassembly of the main pump body. Fuel is provided by an electric fuel pump submerged in the bottom of the fuel tank. This pump runs at a constant speed to deliver a constant fuel supply and help eliminate vapor lock. The pump is serviced as an assembly. During normal engine operation, if the oil pressure drops to a dangerous level, a safety switch shuts off the fuel pump so that the engine stops. For cold starts, a primer switch starts the pump before the engine is cranked. The air cleaner is a heavy-duty cellulose fiber dry type. The filter element is reusable after cleaning. A governor of the flyweight type is installed at the top rear center of the engine. It is driven by the camshaft. Instead of the conventional generator, a heavy-duty alternator is standard equipment. This is an alternating current generator that changes AC output into DC by means of a rectifier. Because alternators use no commutators, one of the most common causes of frequent service is eliminated. Complete information covering service procedures for the new car and truck engines are in the 1958 Ford Car Shop Manual, the 1958 Ford Truck Shop Manual, and the Ford Mechanic No. 3. Product letters, issued as required, keep this information up to date. Now, let's check what we've learned by answering a few questions.